This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. I'm not going to let you tell me what does and doesn't concern me.
You can say whatever concerns you.
And it does.
I can just tell you that what I'm hearing you say is, for me, a little bit excuse laden, and you can make those excuses, and
That's not even what I'm talking about.
Oh, you can feel how you feel.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that.
That's where the conversation evolved. I'm talking about where it started. I'm talking about whether we as a collective 49er assessment society feel like Brock Purdy shrinks in big moments. Do you feel that way?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he shrinks in big moments. I think when he and when they, and I think that this conversation needs to be more they than he,
okay,
because we all get fixated on the quarterback, and yes, he was bad on Sunday. He was bad, and they, in general, on offense, were bad. George Kittle was great. George Kittle's usually great, but if you want to find anybody else who was also quote-unquote great, Trent Williams is good. He wasn't great. And end of list. So I don't think that anyone...
I like Kittle.
That's what I said. Kittle.
Oh, sorry.
No,
I missed
Kittle
that.
Was
I
the
heard
headliner.
It was Trent. Okay.
No,
yeah.
Kittle was great. Trent was good.
And you're talking about offense.
Correct.
Okay.
And the other nine of them, they all were either eh or bad. So I don't think that, for me, it's about him against like the other elite quarterbacks. It's him and them. And I want to really portray this as them. It's them against good defenses. And by them, I mean Baltimore last Christmas, who really did a lot that they hadn't seen, confused them. Kansas City twice, a lot of man and a lot of pressure, and that was uncomfortable. Minnesota twice, a really good defense for the last 2 years, confused them. Cleveland last year, a little bit of a different game because of the weather and the mixed bag, and you still would have won if Moody makes the kick. I get that. But I'm looking at them, the offense, against really good defenses, and I'm not seeing a lot of wins.
Okay. Like, it's funny, too, because it's a moving target. We each get to decide what are the big moments. You know what I mean? Like, the Christmas evening game last year was a quote-unquote big moment, because we decided it was, because it had like a movie trailer vibe to it. MVP versus MVP. Christmas night. Ravens. Niners.
Well, the one seed was on the line.
But they lost the game by a ton, and they still got the one seed.
And it's so, because the Lions spit the bit. And, you know, if the Lions don't lose the next week, you probably don't get the one seed.
Actually, sure you do. You actually play the Rams. You put your people out there. You win the game, and you get the one seed.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Like,
but
they
it's a different
the Rams.
Calculus. So.
Sure. But you get what I'm saying. There was no, like, oh, it's must win. You have to have this. No, you didn't. It wasn't that kind of a game. It was just sexy. So we've decided it's a huge moment. This one's a little bit different. It's sexy. Super Bowl rematch. I get that. You've argued very hard over the last week or so. Not a must-win game. Certainly a big game. Certainly a big game. Your math is starting to work against you a little bit. You got four losses already. But the season's not out of control by any stretch. You're a little game out, half game out of first place or whatever in the NFC West. No big deal. So a little bit of a moving target. But, like, what would you assess What would you say are the top five or six games of Brock Purdy's career? Not his performances, but in terms of the size of the game.
Well, I mean, are we counting playoffs in there?
Sure, of course.
Super Bowl and NFC Championship. And NFC Championship where his arm fell off. And
well, he didn't really play in that one, so I don't know how to assess
that's
him.
That's big.
He didn't throw an incompletion.
The size of the game, yeah, that was a big game.
But he didn't play in it.
He played, and had he thrown the ball a second earlier, maybe he's able to get down and he doesn't get hurt. So that's a game he played in, and it's a game he lost, and it's unfortunate. We can have this debate.
I don't know why we're even going there. He didn't play. He went on one drive. He threw the ball.
He went 4 for 4,
yes,
and then his arm fell off.
Right. So there's nothing to – I just don't know what there is to sink your teeth into on
that. Not much to sink your teeth in other than your question was the biggest games he played,
yes,
and he played that game – and he got knocked out.
Okay.
So that for me is one of the six.
Okay.
And last year you have the Green Bay game. That's one of them. And then beyond that, you could look at.
What about the other two playoff games?
Yeah, those count.
Okay.
Those are the biggest games.
And then what
about? He's played six playoff games. So
yeah,
for me,
I'm going to go five. You can go six. And then
yeah,
what about the regular season? Biggest games.
Probably, I mean, the Baltimore game was big,
okay,
and you know, you can say that they would have been the one seed anyway. The math would tell you that they weren't unless Detroit then lost, because Detroit had the tiebreaker. So if Detroit would have won out, they would have been the one seed. So I felt like that game against Baltimore was actually pretty big at home, and the Christmas and all the eyes on Brock Purdy and all the rest of it. So I'd probably put that one up there.
And then what about last weekend?
Last weekend's further down the list for me.
Oh, what about your first start and Tom Brady's the other quarterback?
That's a big one. That for me was bigger than last week.
And then, okay, that's interesting. Because, I mean, that's at a spot where you almost have your built-in, I don't want to use the word excuse, I hate that word, but you have your built-in sort of reasoning behind that not looking perfect. It was his first NFL start.
Right.
Like, if you go back to that. No, I don't even know. Like, we didn't even have expectations of Brock.
We
were intrigued by what we had just seen him do against Miami when thrown into the game.
Right.
We were like, oh, that looked kind of cool. All right, let's see what he does. I mean, he's facing Tom Brady. This is going to be tough. And he went out there and they blew him off the field. So that's interesting. What about the two Thursday nights in Seattle?
Those are divisional games, so those are big.
Okay.
But I would put the Tampa Bay game above that, and I would put even last Sunday above those as well because of the optics and the emotion of, and you hear all the players talking about how big this game was, and you know, we need to get right, and we need to show that we can beat them and all the rest of it. But I think that the Tampa game for me was bigger than that because he was out there to prove that he was a real quarterback in the NFL.
And he was fantastic in
that
moment. Yeah, he was fantastic. Although, again, I sort of define it by, like, what's on the line for your team. And the game against Tampa Bay, yeah, you're coming at a time where...
You'd won five in a row.
Yeah, you'd already got the winning streak going, and the season had been righted. And so, I don't know. I do feel like the Thursday night following that Tampa game felt more important to the team, but obviously they won them all, so that's great. But I think we would love to enter you into this conversation. Is that it, because you're sort of putting it as, well, what does he do against good defenses? I think that's only an extension of what we're talking about. That's an extension of this question. Is Brock Purdy in some way lesser at the Niners' biggest moments? I wonder if, and sometimes, you know what's really fun is to dive back into the actual numbers. We experience these games, and sometimes then you look at the numbers and you're like, oh, that's not really what I remember. Like, what do you remember, for example, year one, the 19-12 win over the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs? What do you remember about his performance?
I remember that game being very tight and mm-hmm. very, like, not sloppy, but defenses were winning the day on both sides of the ball.
Right.
That's what I remember.
Nobody got to 20 points, but, like, did you feel like Brock was shaky?
No, I felt like Dallas's defense was up to the task, and it felt to me like that was probably a field goal game. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that one felt to me like it was back and forth, my kicker against your kicker, my red zone defense against your red zone defense. That one felt like a really tight affair.
He has played in, and if we'll go ahead and for fun, let's enter in the Philadelphia game,
okay,
since you want it in there, and let's say he's had six playoff games. How many interceptions has he thrown total in the 6 playoff games?
Probably 4.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
Grandy, you got a guess, or you want to throw in a little guesser there? Six playoff games. How many interceptions has the young man thrown in the 6 playoff games combined?
Okay. I would have guessed 4 as well. Yeah, I'll go 3.
You go under 4?
I'm gonna go 3.
You go under the 4, fade the Dibber.
I asked. This is going to knock you all over.
11?
1. He's thrown 1? That's it.
That's it.
1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He's thrown 1. And it's not even the game that you think he threw it in. You know what game he threw it in?
Which one?
Take another guess. What game do you think he threw the pick in?
The play where he tore his elbow up, that technically wasn't an interception.
That was a fumble. That was a fumble. Correct.
Yeah.
So not an interception.
Yeah, we had to count those in his turnover ledger. Although he didn't play in that game, I'm being told.
Well,
so that fumble doesn't count against him.
We're talking about assessing a guy playing. Why would we do that when he's out there for 48 seconds?
Because he fumbled it. Turned the game.
Great. All right. So
game over.
Terrible fumble. Well, I can't believe he dropped the ball when his arm was dislodged from his body.
I can't believe he didn't either tuck and dive or throw it away earlier.
All right.
It's a learning experience.
What game do you think he threw it in?
No clue.
I'd say
probably the Detroit game.
Grandy, what game
they were
do you
down by a bunch.
I'm trying to think. Was it
not the Super Bowl, right? That was McCaffrey fumbled.
No, yep. I don't think it was the Super Bowl.
It hasn't played since.
Was it the Seahawks win his first playoff game?
Dibs, you got it right. It was the NFC title game last year.
Good job.
Thank you.
The Detroit Lions. He threw a pick. And let me admit something to you. I don't even remember it.
Yeah, I'd have to remember it.
What the hell pick did he throw against Detroit? I don't remember that.
Probably a tip ball.
What a fluky tip ball, right? Well, listen, however, that said, we can do this all kinds of different ways. His quarterback rating last year in the regular season was 113.
Wow.
His quarterback rating in the playoffs was 88.3. His completion percentage in the regular season, 69.4. His completion percentage in the playoffs was 61.1. Now, you can't explain that away. You can go, well, these are better teams. They're better defenses. They're bigger moments. It's a smaller sample. You can do all of that. But when you add in what I would say are at least the headline regular season games, were they the biggest? Maybe not. But the two most attention-getting regular season games in terms of buildup in his career, I think, Christmas night last year and last weekend. And obviously he threw 7 picks combined in those two football games.
Right.
Both double-digit losses. No touchdowns. Some would say embarrassing performances. So I want to present this and simply say, here would be my answer. My answer would be, I don't think he shrinks in bigger moments, but I got one eyebrow up. I've got an eyebrow up for, and even if you want to phrase it the way you are, which is, man-to-man good defenses are thrown at you. Brock, what do you do? And of course there's context here. I do think that when you end up in the second half, last week, you're down. Kyle Shanahan's offense isn't great in that moment. And a couple guys who've never played football before are like your receivers. I'm going to give you a little nod of like, wow, that's tough. Not an excuse, but like, huh. that feels harder than what you usually do, right? That's what I would say. But yes, there is a little bit of a growing, if you want to call it pit in the stomach or whatever, of like, why when the moment gets huge, do we have a little bit less in terms of production? And I think that I'm very curious how the Niner fan base feels about that.
And I wonder what the next big moment is. Is it Sunday at home against Dallas? Because you've already said that Dallas is a fly on your shoulder. They get flicked away. So I wonder what the next game is where you can actually look at this and say, well, this is another one of those games. Is it at Green Bay? Is it at Buffalo? Is there a game where you look at it and you go, wow, this is going to be another Brock Purdy show me game?
I'll answer that coming up next. You can answer that coming up next. 888-957-9570. Do you feel like Brock Purdy is a lesser being when the moment gets bigger?